This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Three teenagers are hit by a car. The president's in town. And a woman wants to extract her dead husband's sperm.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor. And this is absolutely everything you need to know for Wednesday, October 20th, 2010. Two of three teenagers struck by a car in North Portland suffered serious injuries this morning. The crash happened at North Ida Avenue and Lombard Street just before 8 a.m. A man driving his child to school was headed east on Lombard when he said the sun glare prevented him from seeing the teens cross the street. Fire officials said the man's Honda Civic was traveling at about 25 miles per hour when it crashed into the teens. A Portland Fire Bureau spokesman said the teenagers were rushed to Legacy Emanuel Hospital, and two of them entered the hospital's trauma unit. The third suffered less serious injuries. Portland police were interviewing the driver of the Honda Civic. They said he'd been cooperating fully with the investigation. North Lombard Street was closed until 9:50 a.m. to allow for a police investigation. Well, President Barack Obama's visit to support Democratic gubernatorial candidate John Kitzhaber is expected to delay traffic today.
Whose visit?
President Barack Obama.
Okay.
As his motorcade makes its way to and from the Oregon Convention Center. Air Force One is scheduled to arrive around 5:30 p.m., but Portland police are telling drivers to prepare for road closures before that time and during rush hour traffic.
That's great.
Officials haven't released much information about the presidential motorcade route for security reasons, but in previous visits, it took Interstate 205 from the airport and then drove west on Interstate 84 to the convention center. TriMet Authority said the transit agency will stop all MAX service as the president arrives and departs the convention center.
Sons of bitches is a thing that I would never refer to members of the government as. That's not a phrase I would ever use directed. Are you kidding me?
No.
So not only are they going to be blocking and close, not even blocking, just closing roads, and then not so much slowing as they are just stopping the public transit system here, which, by the way, is one of the things that makes Portland, Oregon, the shining city on the hill, the fresh green breast of the new world, as F. Scott Fitzgerald would say. But we won't have access to any of those things today because Barack Obama has to come and try to whip his fading electorate into a frenzy.
Right.
Okay. To close the enthusiasm gap.
When I lived in North Portland, my house was on Portsmouth, just off of Lombard, and President Bush came to speak at the University of Portland once. And we had this whole thing where the entire day you weren't allowed to park on the street because, you know, that 4 feet of difference of having a car on the street and car, say, in my driveway would make all the difference if I'd loaded it up with explosives.
Which she would not do, by the way.
Which I would not do.
That's a thing that Dawn Taylor wouldn't do. It's an activity she wouldn't take part in.
But it was kind of interesting that they actually drove by my house. Returning to the airport.
Oh, I think that might be happening again today.
But it's like, man, if you've ever seen one of these motorcades, basically it's like 30 identical black SUVs. So it's like some kind of like, you know, shell game. So you don't know which one the president's in.
Oh, it's not like a shell game. It's exactly a shell game.
And TriMet Authority said the transit agency will stop MAX service. They will not serve the convention center stop and the Line 6 bus stop in front of the building. That'll be closed. TriMet said riders should expect moderate to significant delays on MAX throughout the afternoon and evening.
Well, that's awesome. That's democracy in action, Don.
The editor of BikePortland.org said the convention center contacted a local bike company to rent racks for 1,000 bikes, but the company could only provide enough to accommodate 200 bikes.
I'm sorry, who contacted who to get what?
The editor of BikePortland.org
Right. Talked
to the convention center to make sure that there were bikes.
Oh, because they're anticipating people biking to the convention center to see this.
Okay. But they were only able to provide enough to accommodate 200 bikes.
All right, so let's just back up here for a second. So what time is all of this merriment going to begin?
Doors open at 4 p.m. They're hoping to attract about 5,000 people.
But the actual motorcade or the Air Force One or whatever, that arrives when?
It's set to arrive at the airport around 5:30.
So they're going to start blocking things off at probably like 4:30, I would imagine.
Yeah, or
if
earlier.
Not beforehand.
Yeah.
All right. And this is going to be, he's speaking at the convention center.
Right. And they said that on previous visits when the president has gone to the convention center, the motorcade's taken 205 from the airport and then gone west on 84.
All right.
So,
look, I mean, I know it's not like the president doesn't have to. It's not like he has an atomic transport or something. I mean, I get the idea that he has to fly in, then he has to get in the car, and he has to come here. And plus, if he did have an atomic transporter, we'd just resent him for it.
But wouldn't he be so much more awesome if he just dropped into the convention center with a jetpack?
I just think a helicopter. If he could just rappel down on one of those sort of like, you know, one of those like Starsky and Hutch rope ladder kind of a thing.
If anyone was going to do that, it would be Obama.
Or just, here's the other thing. How about you not come during rush hour? You know?
There's a thought.
How about you just come maybe at noon? And they've got these things now. They're, what are they called? They're computers that you could take with you so you could actually be getting some work done, like at, you know, 1 in the afternoon or whatever it is you check into the Marriott.
Well, I remember Clinton coming to town, and he would come, and he actually, like, spent the night, came, stayed, checked into the Benson, and then did his thing the next day. So it's like, you know, do you really have to, like, just sort of, you know, fly in and then stop traffic for, like, half the town
it
to get you there?
Like,
and
one of the advantages of being a president is you can actually just make your own schedule, right?
Yeah.
You can just say, I mean, that's one of those things that they've talked about a lot over the years, that the best thing about being the president is that you don't have to wait on the tarmac. Like, you are the air traffic controller. You can just say, like, we got to take off now. I'm the president. I say so. And the plane just immediately ramps up and everybody takes off. It just seems like you're not really gaining any style points with the public if you're coming and you're screwing them out of a trip home. So
yeah.
That's okay. I'm just making the observation. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. You can also get this program later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com or on your mobile device. So let's say you are, in fact, not mobile so much as you are immobilized on the road later on this afternoon and you are yearning to breathe free with the sweet succor of entertainment. You can get that from legionofnews.com or from iTunes. This is Dawn Taylor.
A pilot in Memphis, Tennessee, is refusing to get a body scan from airport security. Michael Roberts could lose his job over the protest. He says that he doesn't feel comfortable putting his body through the X-ray machine or its alternative, a manual pat-down.
I'm not willing to have images of my nude body produced for, you know, some stranger.
He says, for all the world, who's the guy who lives next door to the hills? The fat barber guy who's always like, I like you, Peggy. Bill?
Yes.
The guy who was voiced by, he's voiced by, what's his name, Milton from Office Space?
Yeah.
Stephen Root?
Stephen.
He sounds a little bit like that.
I'm not willing to have images of my nude body produced for, you know, some stranger.
All right. I can't hear the voice, but that's who he reminds me of. Okay, see, I didn't know it was a nude body thing when I saw this story this morning. I figured it was just that he didn't want his junk irradiated kind of a thing.
Yeah, and he does, really.
Well, because like, when you go to the dentist, do they do this with chicks where they put the lead apron on you?
Oh, hell yeah.
So they're not toasting your ovaries?
Well, yes. Yes, they do.
So I don't understand. It seems like they ought to be doing that at the airport then.
Yeah, but they can't see if you've got, if you're carrying a gun, if they put a lead apron on you.
Oh, that's true. Well, wait a minute. Now,
he's a pilot. You think they would trust him?
Both of these things can't be true. It can't be dangerous for me at the dental office and safe for me at the airport.
Oh, it's not.
One of those things is false. And I honestly don't know which one. It's entirely possible that it's not dangerous for me at the dental office and they just do it to cover their asses. I actually don't know the answer to that now that I think about it.
Repeated exposure to x-rays, yeah, is harmful.
Well, yeah, but I mean repeated exposure.
So if you're somebody who travels for business and you're flying like all the time and you're going to start going through these x-rays like every couple of days, this could not be good.
I don't necessarily know that that's true. I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I don't understand how x-rays work, and I don't know what repeated exposure necessarily means.
You'll probably start getting messages in the text box any minute saying that there's some kind of different x-rays. They're Y rays or something.
It's just strange that for this guy, it's all about not having his penis photographed.
Right. Robert says the Transportation Security Administration is not the answer for protecting passengers.
It's outrageous. They've lost their minds. This is still the United States, as far as I'm aware.
Well, that's communist talk.
Oh, sir.
We can protect ourselves.
All right.
Oh, sir.
I think just to amuse myself, the next time I go through the, because really there's nothing my wife likes more than when I amuse myself by using the TSA as the, like inadvertent props in my improv comedy act. I think next time I go through, I'll just ask questions about whether the x-ray is dangerous to my testes.
Mm-hmm. You should.
All right.
A New York City woman is seeking a court order to extract sperm from her dead husband so she can have the family she says he always wanted. According to authorities, Victoria Cheggy's husband, George Kamau, committed suicide on Monday in Norwalk, Connecticut. Cheggy maintains in court papers that time is of the essence and that her husband's sperm must be extracted as soon as possible. Cheggy filed court papers in Manhattan Supreme Court after the Sperm and Embryo Bank of New Jersey told her they couldn't perform the operation without court approval. If her request is approved, the sperm would be implanted in the widow's friend, who she said she's chosen to be the child's surrogate mother. The case does have precedent, as judges in Texas and California have approved similar requests. You have nothing to say about that.
I don't at the moment.
Taking sperm out of a dead guy.
No.
Okay.
I'll save my comments till the end of the year. Save my applause till the end and my comments till the end.
The Oregon unemployment rate did not budge again in September, marking the 11th straight month without any change. The seasonally adjusted unemployment rate was 10.6% last month, unchanged from August. The jobless rate has been stuck between 10.5% and 10.7% for the last 11 months. The national unemployment rate was 9.6% in September, also unchanged from August. The total number of unemployed Oregonians in September was just over 196,000.
Are we still like the most unemployed? Because it was us in Michigan, I think, that we were sort of in some nose-to-nose, neck-and-neck battle for unemployment.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know that we are bad. And, of course, as you've mentioned before, this is just people who are actually on the books as unemployed. This doesn't count people, you know, who maybe aren't unemployed but aren't getting benefits anymore.
Yeah, because that's the handy thing they do where once they stop paying you, they kick you off the rolls. So you're just sort of, you know, it's like just shoving clothes under the bed.
Yeah, or people who are underemployed, people who are working like part-time jobs when they actually need full-time ones.
Ugh.
But yes, the total number was over 196,000, and that was the fewest since December 2008. So I guess it's a little bit better. But it's still 196,000
people. The fewest people employed or the fewest people unemployed?
The fewest people unemployed since 2008.
Hooray.
Hooray.
I guess. All right.
Three teachers in New York were fired in the last 6 months for inappropriate contact with students over Facebook. Law professor Paul Callen says some of them apparently left comments without thinking.
Usually it's one kid commenting about another kid's picture, but now it's your teacher saying, hey, that's a sexy shot. Now, that's obviously inappropriate conduct by the teacher. The teacher can and was, in fact, disciplined.
I demand examples. I want evidence and indicators right now of the specificity of these comments. Let me just play that one more time.
Usually it's one kid commenting about another kid's picture, but now it's your teacher saying, hey, that's a sexy shot.
Hey,
now that's obviously inappropriate conduct by the teacher. The teacher can and was, in fact, disciplined.
So is this a thing? Is this a theoretical discussion, or is this a thing that's actually happened?
Is that something a teacher actually said? I mean, that's a sexy shot?
It's not like that's outside the realm of possibility. I mean, you and I have talked about it. We both had teachers. Never, this attention was never directed at me for some reason, because I was it was spongy. The teachers were doing everything but just like humping kids in the classroom. Yeah. So, I mean, if you can do that in the privacy of your own home, then... You know, I guess creeps do what creeps do. So, all right.
Callan says sexually provocative comments about students are obviously wrong, but it's hard to say whether there should be an even stricter Facebook policy for teachers.
You have to say, is it appropriate in the educational setting to have a teacher friending a student? School districts could ban this if they wanted to, but the question is, could there be a useful value to this mode of communication?
Was that you actually hitting the table, or was that him pounding the podium near his microphone for
emphasis?
That
was me putting my veto down in disgust.
I couldn't tell if he was so incensed by this behavior that he felt the need to bring his point into stark relief by using his fist.
I like how whenever something like this happens, the first thing that occurs to everyone is it's the mode of communication. That is the problem.
That's really not the first thing that occurred to me. It occurred to me that I could never be a teacher because chicks look way hotter, way younger than they used to.
They really do.
They do. As much as we have to use this phrase ironically, I think that actually is a scientific fact. I think all of the indicators of female attractiveness are... In fact, have we had actual news stories about this? Starting much earlier. And plus the fact that, everybody just dresses like a 10-cent whore at this point.
Well, honestly, I think there's something going on with boys as well. Because I know that when I was in, say, my 20s, high school boys all looked like children. And now I'm, old enough to be, their great-grandmother. And there's a high school not too far from me. And these guys, there's one of the running squad, and they're running in the afternoon, and I see them running down the street with their shirts off.
Is that Mama's afternoon show that she watches?
And they look like 25 years old. I swear to God.
Seriously, I'm just picturing you on the front porch with a mint julep and a house dress. Just going, that's right. You run back and forth. You come back when you're done.
You boys look a little sweaty. Would you like a little refreshing lemonade to cool yourselves off?
Okay. It's like you're that chick in Cool Hand Luke out front just washing your car while the road crew is putting down hot tar in front of your home.
Why, it's a hot, hot day, isn't it, gentlemen?
Mama Taylor got a refreshment for you inside.
Well, a similar bent. Uh-huh. A Corvallis man accused of using multiple identities to cultivate an internet relationship with an underage girl was arrested Tuesday. Michael Culpepper, 23, pretended to be several different people and convinced a juvenile girl to send about 200 sexually explicit images to him.
Please tell me that one of the people he tried to pretend to be was the lead singer for Bread.
Oh, that would be awesome. They didn't list his identities.
Okay.
I'm Justin Bieber. Send me a dirty picture.
This is David Gates. Would you like to spend some quality time with me?
This is Hall of Hall & Oates, not the other one. This is Daryl Hall, not the mustache one.
Can I tell you? I don't know which one is which.
Oh, Daryl Hall's the blonde one, and Oates is the mustache one.
Okay. There's probably some mnemonic device I can come up with.
A detective said the victim moved into a residence with Culpepper over the summer under the assumption she would be living with one of Culpepper's online female personae. Culpepper also threatened the victim so she would participate in sexual activities with him. Culpepper was arrested on multiple charges, including encouraging child sex abuse and identity theft.
Wait, were any of the identities actually him?
That I don't know.
So he's doing this online puppeting thing where he's pretending to be like five different people. But one of them was a woman.
Apparently so. It's like, well, I know you're unhappy at home.
Come live
sister.
With me.
You can come stay with me where it's safe.
He said in the guise of Melissa.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Here's a thing that I'm fascinated by. We probably don't have time to talk about this a whole lot, but there's a thing that I find endlessly intriguing is this business of guys going online and pretending to be women, even though these are presumably, presumably straight guys. Now, in this case, I mean, he's doing it because he's obviously thinking that she'd feel safer moving in with some chick, and so therefore he's pretending to be the girl. But I think there's an astonishing number of guys who, when they go into, any kind of chat room, is there any sort of the message board or whatever, or even if they're going to be playing a video game character, that they just default to, is that a picture of the guy?
Yeah, that's him.
He's sort of an underfed Dave Grohl looking bastard.
Yeah, with scary, scary eyes.
Here's the thing. I don't mean to, he looks like Dave Grohl. He also looks like our friend Peter from the band Nickel Arcade.
Oh, yeah, he does.
No offense, Peter.
Only Peter doesn't have, like, scary, crazy guy eyes.
He's not seducing underage girls, to the best of my knowledge.
That we know of.
But were you here when he was telling the story about that about their former drummer, the Nickel Arcade's former drummer, that thing they said about Sarah?
No.
Oh, I'll tell you next time. Okay. I don't have time to get into it now. But I am fascinated by guys who go online into some sort of neutral to on the scale of on the scale of internet tone, it would be from neutral to sexually charged, meaning it's either like a gardening webpage, yeah, or you know it's like some erotic themed chat site or whatever it is kids do now. But guys who go on and then they just pretend to be women, and not so they can like get it on with other guys. It's just because they apparently enjoy doing it. It's like an electronic cross dressing.
Yeah, my husband will play female characters in RPGs and in online games. If there's a thing where you get to choose between a male character or a female character,
has he told you why?
He has no good explanation for it.
See, because Aaron Duran and I do the same thing. Aaron and I have talked about this before. It's one of those things where if we all admitted at the same time we're not gay or weird, so Aaron's like, well, sometimes I occasionally play as the chick in some, and I'm like, me too. And then suddenly, within about 10 seconds, all of the guys in the room admitted that we went online and defaulted to playing the chick character sometime. It was the strangest thing.
Is it so you're looking at a chick more than a guy? But even in a first-person thing, or where you're not looking at the avatar or whatever, I mean, because my husband will do it during RPGs, and it's not like it's any different, because all of his powers and his things that he's doing are exactly the same as they would be if he was male.
There's really no good explanation for it. To be fair, Aaron said that in Left 4 Dead, he found that the noise the chick made when she died was, quote, a real turn-on.
See, I always play Francis in Left 4 Dead because I like his voice.
Yeah, I'm always
get over here.
I'm always the chick. But again, I just don't have any. I have no real.
I always play the crusty old guy.
you're the salty sailor. I will also say this: that back in the ancient days of whatever 1994 or something, I think the first time I was ever like in a sort of a web based a chat room as opposed to like a text based chat room. So it was like, you know, it was like an actual. A graphic, you know, interface as opposed to just going on to like some war games looking computer or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think I actually did go online and give myself a female name. I can't for the life of me couldn't tell you why. And it was like a James Bond chat room or something. It had nothing to do with any sort of sexual identity or behavior.
Wow.
But I think I just did, what's my name? Vanessa. like I had no motive or reason for doing that, and yet I did.
Now, I've used either male or gender neutral names in online situations simply because...
You don't get
like,
hit on that way?
Yeah, like a lot of women, I learned that you get a lot less creepy nonsense that
way. Show
me
ASCII pictures of your breasts, if you would.
Are you hot? How old are you?
Where are you at?
Where are you at?
All right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 p.m. Today at 1 p.m. we have a Monkey Watch coming up today. Also, Top 5, Kelly Clark from Willamette Week will be in the studio with us. And we'll continue to talk about the Rick Emerson Show's Geek-O-Lantern Contest. That is on the way as well. You are listening to Legion of News, brought to you in part by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com or at 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. And this morning, this is one of those mornings where I walked into the kitchen and it was like I was making myself some toast or something, and I have the toaster oven, but it was part of my morning ritual. You know, I'll get up and I get the glass and I go to the freezer and I get the ice cubes and I put the ice cubes in the glass and I open the Vizo and I pour the Vizo into the glass and I let it cool and I come back. But occasionally, I get the weird. This, it seems like ice cube tray technology really needs to. That's a thing that we could have fixed by now. The idea that when you twist the ice cube tray, like half of them explode onto the floor, because I don't have an ice maker in my freezer, you know. So I got to fill up the trays or the whatever.
But I haven't actually bought one yet, but they do make them out of silicone now.
Yeah, but those suck. I have some of those.
Do
They're
you?
Terrible. No. Let me just tell you right. You want to avoid those because they got the ice cube trays that are hard plastic. Now those crack over time, and again, they seem to be like spring loaded. To where when you twist them, the ice just explodes. So Lara had the same idea. She's like, I got you some silicone ice cube trays. They're fantastic. And I thought, well, science has finally solved one of my problems. And the problem with that is, though, you can't get any torque. The tension is, you can't get sufficient tension to make it work. So maybe she just bought the wrong kind or whatever. But
the best ones, I always found the best ones were from when, like, childhood. The big metal ones that had, like, the lever.
See? Why can't they make those?
You can find them at thrift stores sometimes.
Because those actually worked. So I don't know. I don't know what the motive behind getting rid of those
was. Because they're incredibly dangerous. They have lots of sharp edges. They had actual metal blades and things in between the ice cubes and
stuff. Well, I suppose that's true, but sometimes it's just the right tool for the job.
Yeah.
Well, in any event, so I have the hard plastic kind, and so it's basically like it's like a peanut can full of snakes. You know, I get myself some ice, bam, and then suddenly ice cubes are flying everywhere, and then it's just chaos because my dog Max is an idiot, and he doesn't get that ice cubes aren't food, and so all he sees is that something came out of the fridge and landed on the floor with a thud, and then he immediately charges in and tries to pick up as many ice cubes as he can. So then I've got an idiot dog with a mouthful of ice, which freezes to the roof of his mouth, and then he's just going. And he's trying to, because it's solidified into a cube inside his mouth. And then Phyla comes over to see what that's all about. And then Max tries to bark, but he can't because his jaws are sealed shut with an ice cube. And it's just, the whole morning goes to hell, like right out of the gate. But then later on, I'm going to get my toast, which I put in like an hour ago in the story, into the toaster oven. And then as I'm reaching into the toaster oven, I realize that I'm standing in a puddle of water because I missed a couple of the ice cubes earlier because they slid underneath the counter. Then I'm touching an electrical object in the house while standing in water. And it's that whole thing of, you know, where then the picture freezes and I imagine Peter Graves stepping out and go, what Richard didn't know is that he was about to become a conductor for electricity. That's how I start every morning. So if occasionally I sound a little afraid around the edges when I come in, that's it's because it's always a bit of a chore getting out of the house. Anyway, you want to call Squires Electric to deal with all things electric in your home because, though you may not want to admit this even to yourself, you're probably more like me than you would admit, in certain ways. Certainly when it comes to electricity and the maintenance of same, whether you're going to be adding electrical outlets, you're going to be adding, wiring or Ethernet wiring, if you're going to be, it's that thing sometimes you just plug in, a lamp and you just hear sort of a vague zzz and the sound and then things quit working. Don't try to figure that out yourself. You just call Joe Squires and Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. Free estimates so you know up front about how much it's going to cost you. Everything from a single socket to an entire building. Or if you are just getting your existing wiring up to snuff, or you're just, adding in extra outlets, or you just, you want to have him come in and make sure sure that everything is working fine, that everything is, is not going to give you any boggle or any trouble, as they say. Electrical wiring or wiring of any kind in your home or business, they can make your life easier. They are Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Fantastic. Here's your science. On the march here on the Legion of News, it is Wednesday.
The world's largest atom smasher has been upping its game since it opened in 2008. Just last week, it reached a new milestone. The particle accelerator is now smashing unprecedented numbers of protons into each other during each collision. The Large Hadron Collider at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, in Switzerland, is the world's most state-of-the-art physics experiment. Scientists are crashing matter's building blocks together in the hopes of revealing even smaller building blocks, new undiscovered particles that make up our universe, including the theoretical God particle, which is thought to give other particles mass. The accelerator consists of a 17-mile-long ring buried underground where powerful magnets guide particles along the circle to pick up speed. At a few points along the loop, the beams of particles intersect, and when two particles collide, they convert their enormous kinetic energy into new matter via Einstein's equation E equals mc squared.
Doesn't this sound like it's the beginning of I Am Legend, and you're Emma Thompson talking about the cure for cancer, where we're looking for the God particle. What could possibly go wrong? And then, 3 years later, and then suddenly there's just giant aphids roaming the Earth.
Well, anyway, they're smashing even more particles than ever before.
This stuff freaks me out, man. It really does. And I know that, and I'm not saying this is like something weird or supernatural about it, or that it's wrong to seek knowledge. It's just that, like, when you get under the atomic level, things are just effed. They're just effed. They're so unbelievably bizarre that, and I'm not saying they don't follow any of the rules of physics. Obviously, they do. It's just not the rules of physics as we understand them, like in the meta. Did you know this? Here's the thing that'll freak you. This will keep you up at night. Did you know that if we take two paired protons, in other words, protons that come from the same, they originate in the same atom, if we separate those, you can put you can take a pair of protons, separate them, and put them literally 2 miles apart. Right? So you got two protons that are 2 miles apart. You know, so it's like splitting up twins at birth.
Yeah.
And put them 2 miles apart, and, you know, they spin. If you reverse the spin of one of those protons, the other one 2 miles away will instantly reverse its spin as well.
Hmm.
And I'm not making that up. And that's not like a theory. That's a thing that happens. If you take two protons, you put them miles away from each other, and you change the direction that one of them spins, the other one instantly changes and starts spinning in the same direction. That's goddamn creepy, is what that is.
That is kind of creepy.
See, and that, so that's the sort of thing that... And then when I hear them saying, so we're trying to find the God particle, it's like, could they have found a name that sounds more sinister? Even if you secretly call it that, like the, you know, like the scientist coffee clatch or whatever that you have, you don't tell the public that's what you call it, because that just makes you sound like, that makes you sound like every guy in every 1954 science fiction film.
Well, it's like the search for Higgs boson. I mean, I don't understand what a lot of this stuff is. I was trying to read that physics book. I literally do not understand this stuff. I want to understand this. The words make sense, but my brain doesn't actually make it make sense. Yeah. I don't get it. On the other hand, though, a few months ago, there was an article in Vanity Fair magazine about the Large Hadron Collider. It was actually about the time we first started putting this whole program together, and we were meeting on. I remember I was sitting there reading this magazine. You were like, "What are you reading?" I said, "I'm reading an article about the Large Hadron Collider." And you just looked at me with a raised eyebrow. But it was really interesting because it was about like how they built it and who works there.
Right.
And there are all these pictures, and it, and I literally do not understand what it does, but it's really cool.
I'm just
really
glad that
interesting.
It's one of those things where you're glad that there are guys who sort of do understand it, because otherwise we'd all be living in grass huts.
Well, yeah.
You know.
A new survey shows a whopping majority of 35 to 49-year-old women say they don't view midlife as a crisis. Dr. Judith Reichman, a gynecologist, says one worrisome finding is that a quarter of women in this age group say they're not using any form of contraceptive, even though two-thirds say they definitely want sex to be a regular part of their lives.
I'm sorry, hold on a second. Let me just...
This group of women between 35 and their mid-40s are the highest as far as unplanned pregnancies, second only to teenagers.
Reichman, a gynecologist, also says things are generally better for them in the bedroom.
These are women who now have more stable lives, often have a stable partner. If they have children, the children are no longer in the bedroom. Some of them are even out of the house. And this is a time when they feel they can enjoy sex.
No, this is, we should wait until we're done with all these other results.
Reichman says the more than three quarters of women said they viewed midlife as a time of transition or reinvention.
Looking at what they ate, how they cared for their families, how they dealt with their careers, their education. And they were also re-looking at the issue of contraception.
By the way, phrase, they look at midlife as a time of reinvention, or what was the other word she used?
Transition.
Transition. That just means when you wake up and you realize that all of your previous choices were wrong. That's what that is. You wake up and you look at the load in the bed next to you and you go, oh, God, what? I've wasted my life. What am I doing? I don't know, and I'm not saying that it happens exclusively to women. Obviously, that happens. I think men do that so often. It's got its own set of cliches that go along with it.
Or you say something to yourself like, "I am not going to go do a terrible job I don't want to do anymore. I'm not going to work for people who treat me like crap. I'm going to, I don't know, start a brand new radio venture with Rick Emerson."
Well, this is the. Yes, because that's not a thing that you'll re-examine and reassess later on. That won't go on the pile of mistakes made.
You are my midlife crisis, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The Emerson News Network is your shiny red automobile.
It is.
That's another reason why I don't have kids. I mean, I don't have kids because I don't want them, which seems to be, that's reason enough right there.
Yeah.
That I don't want them. Well, you learn to love them. You know, maybe, maybe not. Not going to find out. But also because I just sort of take it as read that, I mean, I like to think that I've avoided having a midlife crisis, at least thus far. But then again, I'm probably not the best case study for that because I haven't really ever achieved adulthood in any real sense, like to begin with. I mean, I've basically just been a juvenile retard, like for most of my life. And so I think that maybe I actually either extended adolescence to like now, or I was curmudgeonly and prematurely grumpy way back then. Or that there was just some blending of the two way early on. But one of the other reasons I don't have kids is because I just don't want to be yet another dad who wakes up and he's like 38 years of age. He's like, well, kids, I'm moving out. See ya. You know, and then he's off to bonk some chick that he met at an Amway convention.
Hey, my dad did that.
Yeah, well, everybody's dad does that.
Was awesome.
And so I'm going to opt not to be that guy. And here's the thing. And I'm not, I swear to God, I am honestly not thinking of anybody in particular when I say this. So you just have to trust me on that.
Okay.
But you're like this, you're probably in the same boat that I am, where you are now old enough that you have friends, you know, your contemporaries, who are starting to do the same jackass things that your parents did, you know, where you've, and again, I really am not referencing anybody in particular, because there's a lot of people who do it, but it's like you got friends who are just like, well, daddy's going to be moving out and living in his own house, won't that be exciting, you'll get to come visit it every other weekend. And you're just like going, okay, Bob, you know, whatever, you know, and you like to think that you're not going to repeat all the same moronic mistakes that your parents made. And sometimes you don't, but somebody in your peer group will. And so that's why I've realized it was right for me not to have children.
This woman also says that 64% of women in supposed midlife feel younger than the term midlife implies.
Most of them denied that they were in midlife because they didn't really feel that they were that old. They felt that this was a time in their lives where they could reinvent themselves, make decisions, they were mature.
Well, this is the only real thing that matters here is that if you're a guy who's like, I don't know, if you're like 18, 19, 20, and you just can't get women your own age to bonk you, you just seek out 35-year-old chicks. That is what the answer is.
Well, I'm a senior citizen, and I just keep telling people 70 is the new 30.
That's right, Don. And so forth. Hey, you're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. As you totter and teeter toward the end of your existence on this planet, you might want to try to keep your brain in shape, and there are a few better ways to do that than by learning another language. You can do that at Castalia Language Center. Find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. PortlandSpanish.com. And Clara Grebel, who is the owner and operator of Castalia Language Center, is a native Spanish speaker, and she offers Spanish language classes for adults. Sometimes adults who don't know any Spanish at all, or you know a little bit of it, or maybe you know a lot of it, and you're just trying to brush up on that before you travel or whatever. And, you know, because you're ancient, not unlike myself, you probably got a lot of things going on, obligations, you got jobs, you got this, you got that. So they'll find something during the week and an hour during the week that actually works for you with your schedule. And class sizes are small. Class sizes are limited to you and seven of your compatriots. So that's no more than eight people to a class, which means, you know, you're going to get near individualized attention. You're not going to just be memorizing things. It's not where you just go in and there's a big chart of something on the wall and you got to commit it to memory for reasons that you don't really understand. You're not going to be like that. You're not going to be like that class at the end of Dead Poets Society where you're just walking around in a circle like using Latin adverbs or something. You're actually going to use it in conversation, so you can use it in conversation. Castalia Language Center, you can find out more about them at PortlandSpanish.com. They're a proud sponsor of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. This is Don Taylor.
A British court sentenced a Saudi prince to life in prison today for murdering his manservant during their stay at a London hotel earlier this year.
This is the creepiest story. Have you been following this?
A little bit, yeah.
It's the most unnerving thing.
Prosecutors say that Prince Saud Abdulaziz bin Nasser Al Saud, a 34-year-old grandson of Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah, beat Bandar Abdulaziz to death after the pair went out drinking on Valentine's Day, culminating a long campaign of violent sexual abuse. While the prince denied being gay throughout the trial, prosecutors argued that naked pictures of Abdulaziz found on Saud's phone and bite marks on the victim's cheeks plainly proved that there was a sexual element to their relationship.
And also there's that security film of him just beating that guy's ass in an elevator, like for no reason.
Yeah, that was at London's Landmark Hotel. 3 weeks before he was dead, they had security footage of him beating him in an elevator.
I don't want to be a manservant. That seems like a thing I'd like to avoid.
Saud unsuccessfully tried to claim diplomatic immunity when he was first arrested, and under today's ruling is required to serve at least half of his sentence in Britain. Because homosexuality is punishable by death in Saudi Arabia, and the prince has already been targeted by Islamist extremists, there's been speculation that Saud will serve the entirety of his sentence in the United Kingdom and claim asylum in order to stay in the country after his release. It's very unusual for a prince to be in the dock on a murder charge, Judge David Bean told Saud during his sentencing. No one in this country is above the law. President Obama has nixed his trip to one of India's most famous temples out of concern that covering his head, as visitors to the Golden Temple are required to do, would lead to confusion about his religion.
This is President Aloysius Obama?
No, it would be Barack Obama.
Ah, okay, got it.
Even though the temple is Sikh, not Muslim, Sikhs are sometimes mistaken for Muslims in the United States, and the White House is not looking to provide any more fodder for the 24% of Americans who believe the president is a Muslim.
Wait a minute. So this is, has the White House actually said this, or is this like sources close to or some, you know, reports that? Like, they haven't come out and just said that, right? Like, he's not going to cover his head because America's full of crazy people.
I'm not sure. I think that they've pretty much said that, yeah.
I want to, later on the day, maybe in the second show, we do the Rick Emerson Show 1, we don't have time to do it now. We should look into that later. I'd like to see if the White House has actually come out and on the record admitted that the reason he's not doing it is because he doesn't want to buy a head, you know, the headdress, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because like half the country is with crazy people and they think that he's a Muslim.
Because the trip is supposed to strengthen U.S. ties with India. But apparently this decision to skip the temple is kind of having the opposite effect. I will put this aside to discuss.
Oh, hey, by the way, another thing. Speaking of stuff we'll do next hour. So the Rick Emerson Show is coming up at 1 o'clock today at rickemerson.com for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. Hey, you know what we should do? Maybe starting tomorrow, maybe the rest of this week, I should put that in terms of different foreign currencies. Because we heard, I guess it was Monday, we got a call from our listener in the Netherlands, mm-hmm. Walter in Rotterdam.
So in the future.
Yeah. Now, see, are the Netherlands in the future?
Oh, I don't know. Who was the guy from the future? Where was
that
he?
That was Ryan he lives in London. He was calling from Switzerland.
Okay.
It was the creepiest thing. I mean, it was sort of great, but he was walking around like, I don't know, downtown Switzerland or wherever, listening to the show on his iPhone and then like calling us, you know, from his iPhone while listening to the show live, but like not live. He was listening to it tomorrow, even though it's today. Wow! Anyway, so it blew my mind. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so we should do a whole thing where we convert the show and its various costs into different currencies, you know, like drachma.
You feel free to do that. I'm not good at math.
Also on the it's because it's hard, Don.
Math is hard.
Also on the Rick Emerson Show next hour, we'll talk to Kelly Clark from Willamette Week. We have a monkey watch coming up. We'll do the top five and so forth. But I was also going to say that next hour I wrote this down. So my wife is she's in Turkey at the moment. I guess actually as of today she's in Rome. But she was in Turkey. And apparently the guys in Turkey, it's her and her female traveling companion. And the woman she's traveling with...
Is that a euphemism?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
No. The woman she's traveling with is blonde, blue-eyed, looks very... You know, she looks very much like a quintessential Western woman in many ways. So the guys are just like on them, like white on rice. And she actually has to... Because this is why I love my wife. This is why she's awesome. She's actually been taking notes of the various pickup lines that the men in Istanbul were using on them. So I have some of those that I will read next hour. All right. You are listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. Speaking of her being gone, I should take a photograph of this. I didn't this morning, but I should tomorrow. I managed for like a day and a half after she was gone to keep the house together, to keep everything from just falling into a state of total ruin. But that time has passed.
I have to say, I don't believe you, because you told me that the night she left, you ordered a giant pizza.
Yeah.
The night she left, and the dog proceeded to immediately drag it onto the carpet.
Well, yeah, but as I'm saying, there was none of that left. The dog ingested it all. And plus, I have this thing where I, never mind. I'll tell the rest of this story later. But see, that at least was gone. It was like there was some tomato sauce in the carpet, sure. But even that is like when I come home at the end of the day, the dog has clearly spent most of the day going, trying to get like every last drop of food like out of the threads of the carpet. If really the only stains I ever had on my carpet, you know, if they were tomato based, I don't even know that it would be much of a problem. It seems like Max would get rid of that all for me. But I actually did that thing today where it was like a long panoramic, like a tracking shot of my kitchen, just sort of showing the various piles of filth and foulness that have started to accumulate during my wife's absence.
Is there some kind of an iPhone app that you could be using where you could take a picture every single day and then it would like do a time-lapse photography thing?
There probably is, but I don't need that because I actually have a time-lapse camera that I purchased earlier this year that is actually mounted near my home. Okay, I have to stop. I have to interrupt myself and we'll talk. Remind me to tell you about that next hour, actually, because I do have one of those. Anyway, the point is, so it's like the 20th of October, so she's going to be back in like 2 weeks. So like next week, I think, is when I'm going to have Michael Beatty from The Cleaning Solution come to my home and just give it a good, and just try to expunge all of the various dirts and things that have collected, like, everywhere. And also because the dogs, I think, have figured out, because she's not around, they've decided that it's that like society has fallen, and so that it's time to go feral. It's like with only one parent around, it's like when your mom and dad get divorced, and it's like there isn't the allied parent front anymore, and the kids can just run rampant. You know, they can just grab the conch and scream and go hide in the hills or something. And that's kind of what happens, I think, at home. So the number for Michael Beatty, The Cleaning Solution, if this has happened to you, is 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. Cleaning of your carpet, your upholstery, your walkway, flagstones, astroturf, Dacron fibers of the future, whatever it is you might have. Also upholstery, pet damage, stains, odors, anything like, or if you're me, just all of the above. Everything I just mentioned and many, many things you cannot possibly conceive. 971-533-3211, The Cleaning Solution. Here is Don Taylor.
October 31st, Halloween, is the highest grossing holiday of the year for the candy industry, according to the National Confectioners Association. When it comes to trick-or-treating, the majority of Americans do put the emphasis on the treat aspect, but there are healthy eating alternatives. One such initiative, led by a bunch of baby carrot farmers, and I believe that's actually what they call
their
group.
Is that the name of their organization?
I believe they are calling their organization a bunch of baby carrot farmers.
Do they have a cheer of some kind or a theme?
I don't know. But this is spearheaded by a company called Bolthouse Farms. Originally garnered national attention this past summer when it set its sights on the junk food industry, touting the slogan, "Eat 'em like junk food," and marketing crunchy snacks like potato chips in similar shaped bags and marketing and vending machines.
Where is it? You told me that there are no baby carrots. There's just bits and ends.
Yeah. Yeah. When they put them through the machinery to like cut them up in, you know, for the sliced ones for the bags of sliced carrots and things like that, to make them more even, they cut the tips off of them so that they make them more, you know, consistent to go into the
machine. And then they go into like a rock tumbler or something.
Yeah, they go into kind of a rock tumbler thing, which, you know, just sort of rounds them up, and then they go into these bags and they sell them as baby carrots.
Which is sort of great. You know, it's like a waste not want not kind of a thing.
Yeah. So they're taking on the single serve candy industry and offering something called Scarets, which are 1.7-ounce bags of baby carrots that they're hoping people will hand out instead of candy at Halloween.
So that their homes can be defaced and their tires flattened.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see this doing really well.
Here's the thing. Do I speak for everybody here when I say that it's not like I'm I actually am quite a fan of carrots. I like carrots quite a lot. In fact, there are large bags of baby carrots in our refrigerator at home as we speak. But it's just, it's like the thing of, here's what makes people hate folks like this. It's the trying to market it as though it's not what it is. You know, like it's like when the God guys, you know, be religious, don't be religious, I don't care. But it's like, and Christians are the worst with this. It's like when Christians try to do the thing of marketing Jesus as like hip. You know, believe, don't believe. Jesus, he's not like a rock and roll party deity. He's just not. And so having an acid wash denim Bible, you know, which they had when I was in high school, by the way, and that was the alternative to the studded black leather Bible. And I'm not making that up either. I mean, that's just dumb. And so the baby carrot guy is trying to sell it like it's candy. Kids aren't retards. Not most of them anyway. They're not idiots. They get that it's not candy, and it just makes you look dumb.
Last year at Halloween, I came across a website where it was talking about, you know, if you're Christian, you're one of those fundamentalist Christians who believes that Halloween is about like evilness and demons and that sort of thing. But it had all of these suggestions that if your kid really insists on going trick-or-treating, and if your kid is going to feel like ostracized and horrible, so good things that you can do to like encourage your child to trick-or-treat in a Christian manner. Like, for example, have him dress as one of the apostles. And when he says trick or treat, when he gets his candy, hand the homeowner back a religious tract. I was like, wow, that is one way to just get the crap kicked out of you at school, isn't it?
Maybe those kids should just start to mix the best of both worlds. You could just go as like Jesus post scourging, you know?
Yeah.
You know, hey, and you then
like
your
zombie,
sister.
Or you could be zombie Jesus coming out of the cave on Easter.
The fly-covered Jesus, perhaps. or if you're one of those folks who believes that Mary Magdalene is a whore, you could go as her.
You could put the sheet over you to be like a ghost, except you're really the Shroud of Turin.
I like what that is great. No, see, that's I'm gonna steal that. I might actually go as the Shroud of Turin this year. All right, fair enough. That's okay. Yeah, that, by the way, that was Don's idea, but I called dibs on it. No one else do that. That's me. That's going to be way easier than the solving the gun problem to be John Munch. Shroud of Turin. Awesome. All right. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do our entertainment news.
I don't see how it could be any more entertaining than what we've already done, but that's okay.
Action star Jean-Claude Van Damme has reportedly suffered a minor heart attack on the set of his new movie. Van Damme, who recently turned 50, collapsed on the set of the film Weapon in New Orleans and was taken to the hospital. Production on the movie was halted to allow Van Damme time to recover at home in Belgium with his wife. Search said the movie star, dubbed the Muscles from Brussels, was likely to make a full recovery. The official Vatican newspaper has declared that the Simpsons are Catholics. And what's more, it says the parents should not be afraid to let their children watch the show.
Okay, they're not Catholic because they go to a church that has a reverend, not a priest.
The Observatore Romano newspaper said in an article on Sunday headlined, Homer and Bart are Catholics. Few people know it, and he does everything to hide it, but it's true, Homer J. Simpson is Catholic. The newspaper cited a study by a Jesuit priest of a 2005 episode of the show called The Father, the Son, and the Holy Guest Star. The study concludes that The Simpsons is among the few TV programs for kids in which Christian faith, religion, and questions about God are recurrent themes. The Simpsons pray before meals and, in its own way, believes in the beyond, the newspaper quoted the Jesuit study as saying. Executive producer Al Jean told Entertainment Weekly on Monday that he was in shock at the latest assertion, adding that The Simpsons attend a Presbyterian Lutheran First Church in Springfield. We've pretty clearly showed that Homer is not Catholic, Jean said. I really don't think he could go without eating meat on Fridays for even an hour.
Seriously, also, there are no crucifixes in their home. Look, I know it's a fictional series and everything, but it's... Let's all try to at least play by some sort of internally consistent rules here.
Yeah.
It seems to me, if I really had to be nailed down to pick the choice, it seems to me that they are Protestant.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks, I don't know, and it is possible that this series, it's possible that the creators of The Simpsons intentionally mixed elements of many faiths.
Well, yeah, and Al Jean calling it Presbyterian Lutheran.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, this, just to make it relatable to, you know, so to not tie it to any particular whatever, but they're certainly not Catholic. That's just dumb. That's just wrong. Of all the things for me to be angered by, I mean, I haven't been to a church. I haven't attended a church, you know, as like in a non-ironic fashion for like 30 years. So, you know, I don't. Okay, let's stop. Did I ever tell you about that time I went to a? Never mind.
James Cameron unveiled a new opening scene Tuesday for an extended cut of his sci-fi blockbuster Avatar.
Stop! Sorry, not you. That was directed at James Cameron. Sorry, I'm still rankled by the Catholic thing. All right, I'm moving on.
Which will come out on November 16th on DVD and Blu-ray. The sequence offering a glimpse of life on crowded, polluted 22nd century Earth, where city dwellers are bombarded by digital ads and wear masks for protection from the foul air. The sequence Cameron showed reporters depicts the dreary existence of his hero, Jake Scully, before he's invited to join the Avatar program on the distant moon Pandora. Cameron said he decided to cut that opening from last year's theatrical release, despite how great the sequence of scenes is for his character, and showing how, even though he's paralyzed, he's not a victim. He's still a warrior. He's a stubborn, scrappy, brawling guy, but also one with a conscience and a sense of justice. Cameron said audiences eventually would find out that Jake once gets into action among the native Na'vi on Pandora. He said he dropped the opening on Earth to step up the pacing and land viewers more quickly on Pandora. So, but apparently now he's just decided to put it on the DVD, though.
All right. Is that coming? It's going to come back into the theaters, right? I mean, it's like, aren't they re-releasing that December? Isn't that why Mike Russell was doing the...
Maybe, I don't know.
I swear to God, I heard that this Christmas he was putting it back out.
I just want to pretend that it doesn't exist anymore. I just want it to go away.
I mean, it just...
I want him to make a new movie.
I think he... Because I think he did that with Titanic, too. Where I think they re-released it like the following, because they both came out in December.
Yeah, I thought they were going to do that, and this is just about the DVD release, which is going to be 16 minutes longer than the...
And which is in 2D, right?
So
that seems
so, yeah.
Fundamentally pointless. All right.
Donnie and Marie Osmond will be appearing in a Christmas show at the Marriott Marquis Theater on Broadway starting December 9th. The 12-performance run ends December 19th. The show, titled Donnie and Marie, A Broadway Christmas, marks the first time the siblings have shared a Broadway stage. They'll be singing favorite hits and holiday songs with a live band. Donnie starred in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in Toronto for 6 years and made it to Broadway as Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. Marie made her Broadway debut in 1997 as Anna in The King and I and toured as Maria in The Sound of Music.
I'm telling you, there's worse things that you could do with your $50 than to see Donnie and Marie.
Yeah, you've seen them.
I saw them last year in Vegas. I saw them at the Tropicana.
And you had a specialty drink, as I recall.
A Bloody Marie. Yes, I did. I'll have to take a photo
with that. Was there something purple for Donnie?
Yeah, there was like a, because he had the whole purple sock thing.
Yeah.
There was like a, it was like something. But it was an entire menu of alcoholic drinks named after Donnie Marie, which is hilarious in like many ways. So I'll get a photograph of that and put it up. It was quite good. It was a great, and there was no lip syncing there. I mean, it was, because it was up close and personal, and you could see that they were, and Marie, boy, you know, the thing is, if you get the right kind of a seat, like if you're able to sit right down front, you can just see the crazy on her, like green on grass.
She looks great, though.
Oh, she looks fantastic.
Every once in a while, I'll see her, like, I'll be swinging by QVC or something, and she's selling her crazy-eyed dolls or something.
Yeah.
And she looks great.
Oh, no, she looks well. As dumb as this sounds, it really is the clean living, I think. You know, because even though she's just
I think she finally got antidepressants or something.
Oh, yeah,
too.
No, she's gacked to the nines, like, all the time. I don't even think she can leave the house unless they just trank her like an elephant. So, but Donnie, you get the feeling that Donnie, though, just compensates for it. But it's sort of great and sad and weird and funny to watch, like, the sibling dynamic there, because she obviously is like at every moment about 10 seconds away from a full-on nervous collapse on stage, where you know isn't that right, Marie? That's right, Donnie. You know, and just like the weird strained laughter and the bug eyes. And so it's like Donnie, you know, it's like magicians have that term misdirection.
Yeah.
And Donnie sort of does that with Marie, where it's like he doesn't want anybody to notice that she's about to collapse like a house of mental cards. And so he's just like, he's like, I'm singing, I'm dancing, I'm doing a soft shoe. Look, it's a handkerchief coming out of my wrist. Look, I'm picking a card. Look, I'm over here. Now I'm over here. Now I'm juggling fire. And it's all just so you don't notice that Marie is just, like, sobbing, you know, off on the side of the stage for no reason. And, you know, and he's like, cutting herself.
Oh, God.
It's great. You really ought to go see it. It's quite something. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. The Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. So I will talk about many of these things that we've sort of done as half arterials. I'll get to these later on. Also, Kelly Clark from Willamette Week will be here. We've got the Monkey Watch. Also, Top 5 and more. Legion of News brought to you by CJ's High Climbing Services. That is CJ's High Climbing Services at CJ'sHighClimbing.com. That's where you find out more about it. CJ'sHighClimbing.com or 503-228-9278. And they will come to your home and deal with maintenance jobs that are dangerous, messy, or unpleasant, such as gutter cleaning, roof cleaning, pressure washing, and dealing with moss and algae. And we were actually just talking, I think it was earlier this hour, we were talking about the midlife crisis and the aging and the denial of same.
Yes.
You mentioned your husband in this regard yesterday, but it's also sometimes it's like if you got like an older relative, usually a dad, and it's where dad still sees himself as like the young buck at the Battle of Anzio, and doesn't quite get that he shouldn't be clambering up, like a ladder onto the roof, to do anything. It's just one of those things where just like standing in one place, like just gravity will snap your hips when you're an old person.
Well, we just read some story like yesterday or the day before about, I can't remember who it was, but he was like 85 years old and he died. And it's like, he'd been complaining of some pain when he was pruning trees 3 days earlier.
And it's that whole thing of, well, if I could fight the Battle of the Bulge, I can certainly get rid of these leaves. You know, and then like a femur just goes out. So it's one of those things. I think if you were to go into the average emergency room at the average hospital from like October 15th to like December 15th, about half of the old person injuries, and look, don't get me wrong, not like I'm getting any younger, but half the old person injuries are just guys who decided that they could power wash something while standing 50 feet above the ground on a slippery patch of, you know, wood on top of their home. So don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. And frankly, let's you and I just speak here. If somebody in your family is that guy, just try to remove that. Unless you're in some sort of a tontine or something and it's to your benefit, try to remove the possibility that they're going to fix that themselves. You call CJ's High Climbing Services at 503-228-9278. Or go to the website at CJ'sHighClimbing.com and you get a free estimate there using Google Earth and science. So there you go. We should probably bring the curtain down on this. Mm-hmm. We'll get to some other entertainment news next hour as part of the Rick Emerson radio program at Rick Emerson. emersonnews.com. Legion of News comes to you each and every weekday from noon until 1 p.m. from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Dawn Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer is Bruce Agler, and our chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next. Thank you for listening here at Cascadia.fm. We will see you again tomorrow at noon for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Until then, have a fantastic day, won't you please?